Happy New Year! Thank you for staying with us the last year. We have so much in store for you this year.
Welcome to the Lo and Behold podcast with me, Melvin.
And your boy, Niesto, you know the vibe.
We're so excited. Happy New Year to all our fans, to all our listeners and our viewers too, who view our reels and stuff. So today, before we start, I just wanted to say a big thank you for all the support that you've been giving us.
Thank you. Mob love, all my friends, everybody who is in line with Lo and Behold. Thank you so much.
All right, yeah. So thank you. We are expecting bigger things in 2023. And I hope you guys are doing okay. I hope you started off your 2023 on a high note. And that your plans are actually starting to come to fruition. So today we have an amazing guest. He has hosted us in a podcast before. he's a deep thinker, I like to say. And he's one of the best people I found here in Nazarene in this time. So let's welcome Danaro.
Sir, you guys, how you guys doing? Welcome, it's your boy Danaro here, the hostess to the mostest from Afripod. From Afripod itself, my guys. Stay tuned to Lo and Behold. These guys are awesome, man. These guys are just real conversation starters. Today, man, I feel like we're gonna have a really, really awesome vibe up here.
Thank you so much. So we have a few questions for the guests to know you better. And what's the first question I'd like to ask is, who is Danaro?
Danaro is this ambivert, this guy who apparently fits in the crowd, mm-hmm. and who's sometimes I'd like to prefer to be myself as the life of the party. Uh-huh. He's this kind of guy. He's this kind of guy who will always be straight up honest with you, mm-hmm. and a really, 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 really deep sapiosexual. Like, hey, I'm honestly turned on by intellect. Like, I love people who can challenge me intellectually. We sit and talk and discuss. That is Danaro. He's someone who will come and tell you, yo, let's sit and look into this philosophy. What do you think?
Can we talk about the state of the economy?
Can we talk about, you know, politics? I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah,
but also deep down, I believe I'm born again. Uh-huh. I'm not really overly religious. But I believe that God is there, and I believe that in this life you have to do what you gotta do to make an impact, mm-hmm. and it will always be better or the best if you leave a positive impact to hell.
I love that, leaving a positive impact, and that's one of the big aims we have here at Lo and Behold. So I love that you are straight up. We also like to be straight up with ourselves. So the next question is,
Danaro. The next question is, what is your favorite Kenyan location where you just like to come, chill?
Kenyan location, my guys. Honestly, Langata.
Langata.
Why Langata?
Langata is just the best. One, strategically, that place is the best location.
Is that where you come from, Mama?
You know, I have to be patriotic about my hood, eh? But honestly, without any, you know, biasness or anything, mm-hmm. that place is awesome.
You love it,
eh? Because one, we have almost everything and anything we need. We are very close to town.
Yeah.
So but moving from Langata to town is very, very cheap and easy. Two, we have all, like most of the interesting entertainment joints are in Langata.
Okay. True.
Yeah, entertainment joints are in Langata. We have also really intriguing amusement parks. Like we have the Nairobi National Park.
Yeah,
we
it's
have
just the
gardens. We have Carnival. You see, we have Wilson Airport. Like, it's just awesome.
Okay. I think Langata is a chill place, by the way. I've never been to the, I think I've been there once, the animal orphanage. Have you been there?
Nah, bro.
You should.
You're always talking about Kisumu.
Kisumu. My Kisumu people will always celebrate you every day. But you Nairobi guys. But I should go to Langata.
You should come to Langata.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you heard of Miondoko?
You're asking someone with two left feet. What is the problem? Why they hate this alley? but I've heard of it. I'm really knowledgeable when it comes to latest events and latest trends in Kenya, because my course demands that that's how I be.
But then you didn't tell us, which course are you doing?
I'm actually studying mass communication.
Wow.
Yeah, in ANU.
That's so amazing.
It's something I love. And so the current trends, Miondoko, those kind of stuff. I have to also understand what they are, even though I can't dance it. Apologies.
I get what you're saying. What is the best, what is one thing that you can't leave the house without?
One thing I can't leave the house without.
That one thing that you can't leave the house without.
Yeah. I think it's the talisman I normally wear.
Yeah, I can see it.
I rarely take this off. Like, I think I've taken it off an incountable amount of times.
You shower with it?
It's like it never gets off.
Glued to your skin.
Yeah, it's something I've had since I was done with the class 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's stuck.
Serious?
To it. Yeah.
It's that
old. Yeah. Wow. It's something special. I was given by someone who really cares about me and I care about her. So.
Which brings me to my next question. The listeners wanna know, are you single?
Hey, yo, I'm really sorry, man, but this guy got off the market, man. This guy is no longer in the mall. Peace out, bros.
You're not in the market.
No longer. I'm not in the market. I thought I was in the mall, so I was taken away from the mall.
Okay.
Who bought you?
some painting, some PYT of mine up over. She's all I got, man, and I really care about her.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to give her a shout out if she's listening to this, Gambu.
You call that what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Behind Babu.
Behind Gambu.
Yeah.
Gambu. Anyway, Valentine is coming.
Where is your boyfriend?
Okay. So the next question is, what's one quote that you'll say you live by as Danaro?
As Danaro, one quote I live by is regression to the mean.
What?
Regression to the mean.
Regression to the mean.
Yeah. It means that no matter how things might be, they might be this good or this bad, but either way, at the end of the day, there's some point when they all come back to the middle.
I think there's a Swahili proverb that says, "When that is in Aomo Marejoni Ngamani," and it's sort of the same thing. Like, no matter how forward you go, backward you go, Ngamani is like in the middle of a boat.
That's the quote I normally live by. That no matter how things might be, they might be really, really good, but I have to understand that it might not last forever. It's just for that moment. But always remember that there's that center focal point in your life, in your existence, that you have to live by. And that's where you should remember, that's where you come from. Okay. That's where you should go back to. So no matter how bad things turn out to be at some point, you have this really messed up day, you know.
Yeah.
You find out that maybe you have a soup, or maybe you got something. You find out that maybe you're fired or something. But by the end of the day, you gotta know that, man, at some point I'll come back to where I was.
True. I actually love that.
Yeah. Moving on, bro. Since you said, you're relaxed, you're good. What really is your comfort show when watching TV, Netflix? What's your comfort show?
My comfort show? Sitcoms.
Sitcoms.
Yeah, I love sitcoms. From Friends to Big Bang Theory to Young Sheldon to How I Met Your Mother.
You watch all of those.
Martin, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's a good one.
That's what I love. Just sitting and enjoying, you know, chilling.
Yeah.
Maybe having some guacamole and crisps with your chick and just watching as you love.
That's some American thing, bro. We know you, bro.
That's what I do. That's my comfort zone and my comfort channel. You know?
Nice. And who is the most powerful person in your contacts?
My best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this person.
Connections. We've been talking about Kenya. You need to survive with connections and stuff. So, you said your best friend.
My best friend.
What does he do? She.
Yeah, she. This
babe.
Person. this person, apparently, She's the one who gives you the motivation to move on.
Like, okay.
I might apply for this job and like I don't get it, and she's like, "Yo, it's not about to give up.
Yeah,
it's about the grind you have to get." Yeah, like that for me. That's the power I get from. Yeah, she's like
powerful like yeah, that. Yeah,
for me, I don't. I'm not talking about this guy who I'm like, "Yo, I hit you up and like connect me to this job or this job." Mm-hmm. That's not power to me.
Okay.
To me, power is the internal strength you get. The internal strength you get to push you forward. Yeah. And that internal strength comes
grit,
from my best friend.
I think they call it grit.
Grit, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So she like motivates you and pushes you me to up. Do more.
Yeah,
that's nice. Lovely. That's powerful. I would ask, do you read books?
Yeah, I love. How do I say it? I'm a nerd.
You're a nerd. You're a nerd.
In the closet, I'm also a nerd. People are like, Danav doesn't look like he's studying.
Yeah, that's the first thing I
but,
said.
Generally, actually, in the closet, I love books. Like, okay. I'm a that's fan of novelists.
So can you give us, like, your top 5 books?
My top 5 books, in accordance with together.
However you want to put it,
can be 48 Laws of Power.
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding. My top 5 books, I love Dan Brown.
Dan Brown.
Yeah, the author of Angels and Demons, the Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never managed to read the Da Vinci Code, but I'm going to try it this
awesome.
Year.
It's awesome. It's awesome. There's even a movie about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My second best author is James Patterson.
James Patterson. Yeah. I think, what has he written? Sounds familiar.
The Cross series, Cat and Mouse, Jack and Jill.
Oh.
Jack and Jill.
Yeah. Also, just to be honest and candid,
mm-hmm.
My third is Sylvia Day.
Sylvia Day.
Yeah, she's an erotic writer, and she really gives so much flavor to novels.
You read a lot. You read smart.
I read smart. Like, I read wide. Oh, I read really, wide. Really wide.
Okay.
Yeah. Also love, finally, I think I love Sydney Sheldon.
Sydney, of course.
She normally writes books with court proceedings, but in storyline. It's really interesting.
Okay.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
And now since...
Ken Follett. Yeah, he wrote Pillars of the Earth. It's a really, really awesome masterpiece.
I'm going to read that. Pillars of the Earth?
Yeah. There's even a series
about it. I thought was a reader.
I'm writing that down.
There's even a series about it. Those are really, really awesome books.
Read books.
Ken Follett.
Read books.
Okay, bro.
Now that actually the mic has now shifted from you being... an interviewer for guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's your turn to be on the other side.
Yeah.
So with that said, how have you used your platform as a podcaster, as a somebody on the mic to inspire change?
Well, even though we are still on our young stages of developing as a podcast, mm-hmm. in Nazarene,
yeah.
we believe that we are impacting many people by letting them know that, one, there are other people out there like you. You know, what kills loneliness or what eradicates loneliness is mm-hmm. having the knowledge that you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
That there's someone like you out there who's suffering too, or someone like you out there who's better like you.
Okay.
Yeah. So I believe that my podcast, AfriPod, we give that platform to people so they can understand that you have this line of thought and there are other people who share that same line of thought. And it's really a beautiful thing to find that you share the same school of thought with someone.
Yes.
It's actually intellectually amusing.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what we provide for people.
Mm-hmm.
We give them a space to feel welcomed and feel like they are no longer alone.
For me,
that is bringing change. Even if it's just one person or two, I feel like that's more than what they deserve. They should get more than that.
Like
when we talked about GBV with you guys, I got feedback from people that are telling me that's really, really touching. You guys did something good. And I felt like, you know what? That's the work of me and my crew together with you guys.
Yes.
And for me, that is change.
Okay. I love it. And I was saying that I actually agree because... somebody texted me after we recorded the gender-based violence episode.
Yeah.
They told me that I never knew that there are more than one type of gender-based violence, like we talked about elections, domestic and all of that. So you're actually inspiring change. I want to tell you, keep continue with the same spirit.
Thank you so much.
And keep inviting us.
Definitely.
And our listeners too. I'm sure our listeners also have views. So please, if you're listening to us, go and check out AfriPod. They're also on Spotify.
Yeah.
Which other sites?
We are on Castbox.
Castbox.
Yeah, also on Anchor.
And I think even Google.
And Buzzpod and Google Podcast.
Uh-huh. Okay. So yeah, so listen and share your views, guys.
And as we continue to know more about you, what is something most people actually don't know about you? You're all this cool guy out there, but what is actually something
people don't wish know some about people you? Knew about you?
Yeah.
Look at you trying to expose my vulnerability. You're trying to expose my vulnerability.
It's a safe space. It's a safe
How
space.
Could you? But yeah, honestly, one thing which people knew more about me is that I'm also but a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, ooh, you're deep.
I'm also but a man.
But a man.
Yeah, I'm only but a man.
You're just a man. You're just a younger man.
Yeah. Yeah. People, you know, I feel I'm talking for other men out here.
Mm-hmm.
When people give us standards, which we as men apparently now galvanize and make it ours to the point where we hurt our own selves. True. You know, because out here, people are like, you are a man, you are supposed never to cry, you're never supposed to show emotions. And I'm like, long gone are the days when we were stoic. You showing your emotions is not a way of showing that you're weak. It's a way of showing that I am strong, I'm just taking a break, I'm going to rise up again. That's what I want people to understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. I might have a stone face. I'm told I have a stone face half the time. But I might have a stone face, but I can laugh.
I'm
just but a man. So I wish people understood that of me and my fellow men out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, you're just a man.
You're actually deep. Just a man.
Yeah. So the next question I'm going to ask is, what is one thing that, I don't know how old you are, but what's one of the things?
It's okay.
Yeah, you are really proud of, as you can say that, wow, when I look back in the few years that I've lived on this planet, this is one of the things I am most proud about.
Well, I won't lie.
Don't lie.
To be honest,
yeah.
When I look back, I am proud of the person I've become mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And emotionally.
Mm.
That's one accomplishment. I can stand proud and say that I have managed to survive this long haul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the time I'm going to be older than how I am right now, I'm going to say that I have overcome a challenge that majority of my peers weren't able to pass through.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. They couldn't even fathom.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like that's an accomplishment that I'm really proud of.
So you being you like developing mentally, spiritually.
Yeah. Like I look back and see how I used to think before and how I'm thinking now.
Yes.
And the progress I'm making and I am proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an accomplishment because there's no greater accomplishment in life for a man than him being able to harness his own mental state. In the emotional state.
That is
the greatest accomplishment. Even Julius Caesar stated that.
Hey.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. Bro is quoting Julius Caesar. But so, I like it. Continue.
So yeah, that's for me.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Because with that, I feel like I can now reduce on the complexes that, you know, normally plague our peers.
Yeah.
You know, Napoleon complex, a narcissism complex, that kind of thing, Messiah complex.
Yeah.
If I'm able to harness my intellect and my emotions in check.
Yes.
I know that I can make it. And that's an accomplishment I'm proud of.
Hey, yeah. That's a big one.
That's smart.
You know, I read this tweet recently. It was, I think, somebody was just trying to make people laugh. And he was saying that every year, he looks back and he sees how he was thinking, like, the way he used to think. Like, every year, he I think it was a lady. Every year they discover that, wow, the way I was thinking last year was so bad. Every year. I don't know if you, me, I felt the same.
Yeah, I've also seen
if you look at your year, what you did last year, you say, what was I thinking?
So why cringe. Would I know that? You cringe. Yeah. That cringe moment when you're just chilling and boom, it hits you.
Why did
you.
I do that?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking and saying, you know, and it shows, when I was thinking about it, I saw that, that means that there's growth somewhere.
Exactly.
If you discover that, what was I doing
back then?
It means that you've grown.
Mm. Progress. Yes.
And on to that, follow-up question is, who do you look up to as a, maybe a favorite celebrity or in Kenya or even outside? Who do you look up to? Who's your favorite?
Career-wise, I love Mark Masai. Mark Masai is nothing but the best for
but
me. That's someone up.
He was recently fired.
He left his job and he has his own platform now.
Yeah, he has his own, I think, with Dennis Okari.
Yeah. So Mark Masai, that's one person I'm looking up to, and John Alan Namu.
John Alan Namu.
I think you guys have heard
I
of
know
him.
John Alan Namu.
Yeah, the guy who's who's produced The Last Door. It's a show that just recently came up in Maisha Magic East.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about it gives a deeper insight into unsolved mysteries that plague the crime world in Kenya.
Oh, I think
like
I
the two
saw
brothers
that.
Who are killed.
The Kenzo Koma brothers.
Exactly.
I think I also saw the Omar Lali case.
Exactly. So John Alan Namu goes deeper into it, and this is something that it's very risky, especially as a journalist in
the
current state
the
that we have,
state.
Especially
yes.
in our continent, Africa. Yeah. And he goes deep into it, and that's something I really admire, because that's bravery and courage to give out news, and that's what I really wish I can develop into that level.
Him and
Mark Masai.
I actually love it.
Yeah.
It takes bravery to do that, because I don't want to say the case that I was in, but one of the cases he was covering, I was in the court when the judge was listening to the course, to the case. And everyone was told to go outside because of the way the case was sensitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for him to do that, it must take bravery. That so shout
something.
Out to John Alan Nyamu.
Yeah,
it's
Mark
Nyamu.
Masai. Alan Namu, yeah.
Namu,
yeah, and Mark
Nyamu.
Masai.
Karen Nyamu is the other.
Yeah, we know Karen Nyamu.
Danaro, are you mentoring someone? Is somebody under your wing?
That's a good question.
With all this intellectual.
With all this,
Julius Caesar.
Napoleon.
Napoleon complex.
Who
is under your wing?
I don't think I'm qualified to say I mentor people because personally I believe that I'm imperfect. I still have my flaws here and there, but I always try as much as possible to dispense whichever shred of wisdom I might have to someone who's younger than me so that they don't make the same mistake I made to go through that. I show them through my scars that this is what I did and this is what got me. So I'd rather you don't have this also.
Yeah.
For example, I do that with my younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah, and the kids in the hood, those are people I normally work with. I just show them the way, but I won't say mentor. Mentor is too strong a word for someone like me. I'm still imperfect.
You're a mentor. People look up to you.
I try here and there.
Let me debunk what you're saying. Because... Mm. I've been a mentor here in uni. I've been a mentor.
Yeah, same,
and one of the things people think is that for you to be a mentor, you have to be perfect. No, no, no.
Or you have
like you said,
achieved a lot.
Or you have achieved a lot. Just like you said, all of us have experiences that someone can learn from positively. So you don't need to be at your... You don't have to even have a title for you to be called a mentor. You just need to guide someone. Me, I like it when I mentor someone and nobody else like knows that wow, this person is working with Melvin. Melvin is trying to help.
Yeah.
For example, let's say in Moot, I'm trying to help somebody in Moot. I'm trying to help somebody in debate. Mm-hmm. I don't even want him to tell other people that Melvin is the one, because I wanted to do it like silently. You get?
Because
at the end of the day, it's not because I want to be like known or something.
Yeah.
And eventually, word gets out and people actually know that wow, he was actually my mentor. So you don't need to be perfect, like you're saying.
I get it. Yeah, true.
So as we wrap up, I think Isaac has the last question.
Yeah. Favorite food, bro?
Sector, eh?
We're waiting for that question.
Favorite food, bro.
Okay, I have a favorite snack, but I have a favorite food.
Okay.
My favorite food, my guy. Ugali.
Hey. Like ugali.
Sembe.
Hey, me, I will never choose ugali.
Kuon. Yeah. Ugali, my guy. Something that puts the foundation
substantial. It is in the system.
Kitu neka foundation kwanza. So me, ugali. I love ugali. Ugali together with some greens. Good greens, traditional greens.
I just had that for lunch, by the way. Sorry, man.
And of course, some meat on the side, but not a lot of meat. Maybe liver, preferably liver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey.
But when it comes to snacks, I love French toast with curry on the side.
Yeah, I like French toast. I like French toast.
I love French toast with curry on the side. Perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I need to come at your place. So that
it seems like this guy's cooking things in this kitchen.
Even though I'm a comrade, I understand how to live with dignity.
You don't, look like your problems.
But for real, Mimi, I will never choose ugali. If there's, usually it's between ugali and rice. I would never choose ugali. I will always choose rice. Mm-hmm. That's me. You're better than me.
But we all have preferences, and it's understood. It's okay.
That's what I like about us. We are different and diverse.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes us human. And as we wrap up, that has been Danaro. So stay tuned for the second part.
If you would like to get featured in an episode, please send us a voice message using the link in the description. You can also reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Welcome back, guys. It's your boy, Nesto. You know the vibe. We're still in here with Danaro and my boy, Malemba, Melvin Kyoko.
The one and only.
And, hey, bro. Okay. And we're now getting into the more serious part of the conversation. And on today's segment here, we have something we want to really get off our chest, which is justice and humanity. Mm. And with regards to that, how it correlates with our, day-to-day life and current world.
Yeah.
So Danaro, could you take us more into this?
So for me, thank you, Iniesto. But for me, I believe that there is a difference between justice and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I believe in. I believe in our justice system. I have hope for our justice system. I have faith it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But also, do we as a society understand the aspect of humanity along the lines of justice?
That's a great question.
Yeah, do we? That's one thing we should all try and understand. Because I, as a mass communication student, that's how I perceive justice and humanity. Is this something that can be attained? Because for me, what is humanity?
Mm-hmm.
To me, humanity is consciousness of me. The ability to empathize and actually sympathize and comprehend a situation's probability and its circumstances in different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ability to actually complete a situation, understand and read the room, and know that this is the emotion here.
Yeah.
I must be tolerable. I must empathize and understand that, yes, something has happened, but let's look at the bigger picture here.
Yes.
That is humanity.
So that is humanity.
Yeah. For me.
According to you.
According to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I look at justice, on the other hand, for me, justice is the conclusion that ethics and morality will always have consequences that remind us of how iniquity is always wrong, despite the intention in place beforehand. Consequences aftermath, that is what that matters in the eyes of justice. That's how we, as the common citizens, look at it.
Can I ask you something? So, according to your point of view, you believe that justice is more strict and more cast in stone than humanism, which majorly relies on, what do you call it? You said reading the room, so I'm guessing that is like applying wisdom and applying the knowledge that you have in different situations.
Yeah, that's okay. What I, for me, in short, justice,
can you give a bit more context?
Justice is more black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity is gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, okay, let's see if I can give, maybe I can use a metaphor, yeah, if that's acceptable with you guys.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justice is like the world of DC.
DC Comics.
DC Comics.
DC Comics.
Yeah. Superman and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Superman believes that always there's a right and wrong. There's no gray area. And that the wrong person can never
change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Batman believes that there's room for change and a proper rehabilitation.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That is why Batman will never kill the Joker, even though he's actually one of the smartest comic characters, most powerful comic characters. Yeah. He can never kill, yeah, the Joker, because he believes that the Joker still has something good in him.
Yeah.
And Superman, on the other hand, believes that people,
this is really must interesting,
he actually killed Joker in the end.
Exactly. He actually killed Joker because for him, he knows that there's right and wrong and
he
wrong.
He killed Joker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stripped him off. He killed Lois. It's Lois Lane, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Joker killed Lois Lane. So, you see, that is how justice in humanity looks like in our common world right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I want to bring in another question, another angle for you guys to look into it.
Yeah.
Without humanity to fall back on, what becomes of justice?
Mm.
We have seen in our Kenyan judicial system that sometimes they can actually be humane. Mm-hmm. This time during last year, before the elections, I think, or during the elections,
yeah,
this guy who was caught shoplifting twice in a supermarket,
yeah,
and
yeah,
he had a family to help, and judge was like, this is someone who just wanted to feed his family, and the current economy, he couldn't be able to attain it.
Yeah, mm,
yeah, that was humanity. Mm. But now without humanity, what does our justice system stand on?
This is a...
You as lawyers.
That's a tough one.
You as lawyers, what, yeah, do you think?
Okay, Iniesta, you want to start?
That's a tough one. But what I think about justice and humanity regarding the context on what you have just given as an example,
mm,
on this guy was caught shoplifting just to feed the family. This is humanity, right? Because we are relying on the feelings and of the public and all these aspects. But how will you be able to come up now in the court system and say, hey, there's a line to it.
Yeah.
You stole in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So this is either unforgivable and it is punishable, mm-hmm, or what? For me, I believe that I stand with humanity.
You stand with humanity.
I stand with humanity because you can't have humanity without justice in the first place.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let me be the devil's advocate.
I knew this was coming.
But let me be the devil's advocate so that we have a bit more of debate. As a person who believes that the constitution is the supreme law of the land,
yeah.
Sindio,
mm-hmm,
we believe that the constitution is the mother of all laws in Kenya. Sindio,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And it is the mother of the penal code, which says that if you go and steal, you're supposed to be locked up. Sindio,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you believe in that, when somebody steals, and regardless of the person's situation, because a kleptomaniac is bound to do it again. If he stole once, he's going to steal again. And that guy, I want to promise you, that's not the first or second time he's stealing. This is the only time he was caught.
Uh-huh.
Unaona? Yes, he may say that he was trying to feed his family. Mm. But people always have excuses.
So it's like, excuses.
Like there's a recent
so
case.
Humanity is an excuse.
No,
to
no,
justify
no, no.
Justice. Melvin!
No, no, I'm putting it in context.
Yeah, please, have some things. Talk, my guy, talk.
So, wait, you're making me lose my dream.
Uh-huh.
So, in the sense that there's a recent case where somebody, you guys know the Chiloba case, you know?
Yeah.
The guy killed someone and he was saying, I want to be given bail so that I can go and feed my family.
Mm-hmm.
According to humanism,
Yeah.
According to humanism, according to whatever you guys are saying, it means that, yes, he has a family to feed, so let's free him. This is somebody who is being, is allegedly killed somebody by gouging out their eyes, mm-hmm. cutting him into pieces and putting him in a box. Do you know how gruesome that is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, I have a better example of someone who can actually look into. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay.
Okay.
Or Andrei Chilato. These are guys, these are serial killers. These are criminals who are so gruesome in their acts, in the history of criminology. Like, these are so messed up. And when so they were asked why they are doing this, they said that they just had to do it. Now, on the facets of humanity and justice, mm-hmm. if these people were, according to how we both, because I'm on the fence here, according to humanity,
perfectly on the
fence. If we give these people a chance to learn, mm-hmm. do you think they could still change? Do you have a guarantee that they would change? Considering, taking note, the current the current rehabilitation system we have in Kenya, mm-hmm. which is very questionable. Uh-huh. Let's be honest about that. Mm-hmm. And you, mm-hmm. as a paragon of justice and all,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it will be justified, actually, giving these people a harsh penalty, at the expense of losing our younger generation's empathy and sensitivity? Because we are telling them that the world is cruel, the world is harsh. That you do this to nakuwa, you mm-hmm. get the death penalty no mm-hmm. matter what. Mm-hmm. That there's no room for change. Mm-hmm. You see, okay. at the expense of that. Mm-hmm. So think about along those lines and then tell me.
Yeah, I'm very happy you actually brought the aspect of Jeffrey Dahmer. For people who have actually watched that episode, Netflix. I watched it on Netflix. I didn't know Jeffrey Dahmer was
comprehensive
up until I watched the Netflix one.
Yeah.
So you've asked if there's room for change
if they
went to jail and all that. I believe that there is room for change. I am a Christian and mm-hmm. I'm standing my ground as a Christian in this conversation here, saying that you can change if there's room. To let you to, you know.
If there's room for you to change.
To change.
But, okay.
So if, let's say, Jeffrey Dahmer was actually given that opportunity to go for rehabilitation, to be able to function properly, yeah. bring about therapy and all those kind of things,
yes.
then he would be able to function and be integrated back into the society. Melvin, on the other hand, playing the devil's advocate, I know he's going to come back here and say that because the punishment fits the crime.
But Also, we look at it, giving them room for change, yes, rehabilitation and all. But looking at their history, look at their past records. These are people who, when they were growing, they underwent some traumatic experiences and all. So are you trying to tell us that as the justice system, it is also part of our duty to ensure that the growth of children is done properly?
Yes.
Because look at Jeffrey Dahmer. This is someone who had abandonment issues. He was so insecure. If you watch the series, right?
Yeah.
This is someone who was so insecure. Yes. He had abandonment issues because his mom left him and his dad decided to go with another woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Look at Chikatilo. This is someone who apparently was dumped by his girlfriend because he couldn't perform properly conjugally. Like, after that, this guy...
No facilities for that big man.
We don't know. Now, some people like those, we want to tell that, as a humanitarian here, you want to tell us that we should actually look into that and try and help them from that angle, an angle that already wrecked and is irreparable.
Can I respond?
Who ended up saying that it was irreparable in the first place? You know.
Can I respond?
So, okay. Respond, yeah.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know, in the recent past, mm-hmm. what I've seen is that we rarely change as human beings. And I'm going to agree with Superman, even though I'm a big Marvel fan. People rarely change. Unaona? And if we're going to say that, let's make exceptions. I mean, for every rule, there's always an exception. there's always an exception to every rule, isn't there? But if you're going to make an exception for every single person, that beats the essence of the law. I don't know if you guys get it, because at the end of the day, we need laws, which brings.
Yeah, I've not disputed that. There shouldn't be laws just because there's humanity. You're getting me wrong out here.
Okay. What are you trying to say?
No, just finish up.
Yeah. So I'm saying, if we actually, that's what will lead to a better. You see, you're talking about younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
If people know that way, if I commit murder, if I steal, if I rob, I'm going to be taken to prison. That person is not bound to do it. But now, I don't want to call Kenyans, we don't have humanism, we have stupidity. Because this person who stole twice because he was going to try to feed his family, do you know why politicians steal money in the first place? It's because they are trying to recover the money they lost during campaigns. So if I'm a judge, and I actually saw a TikTok of one member of parliament who didn't even get the seat, he was crying on TikTok, he was saying, "Nini wa Kenya, nini wa tuwa
bae." I remember that. Yeah, it
trended. Okay.
It trended.
I did all of these and then...
Majority of the politicians that we elect are in debt. Mm. And when they come into office, they want to steal and get all the money that they can to break even and even get some more.
Mm.
So if I'm a judge, I'm going to listen to, okay, let's...
You'll understand the situation.
And understand the situation. Because this is what I hear, that judges are corrupt, you know? And of course, there must be corrupt judges.
And I'm glad you've actually brought the issue of corruption.
So if this MP goes to the judge and tells him, I'm sure they meet on the side, you know, they always meetings after the meetings that we have. So if they meet on the side, they say, "Hey, Manze, I know this case is going this way, but you know, the reason why I'm doing this, I'm getting this land illegally, is because I'm going to use it, unaona? I'm going to use it to get money that I had lost during my campaign." Uh-huh. So unaelewa, you've been here, you've seen these cases.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to apply on humanism, it's going to beg the question that what is justice in the end?
No, actually, I feel like, I'm sorry, before you bring the aspect of corruption, I feel like it begs the question, is humanity and justice connected? And for me, if you ask me, I'll tell you, humanity births justice. But... afterwards, they are totally independent of
you guys. Have a lot.
There's no right or wrong in this conversation.
There's no right or wrong. Yeah.
But
there's no
right or wrong. You guys have a lot of faith in human beings, and I do.
No. Actually, listen to my tenor. Humanity births justice, but they're totally independent of each other. Like, I take for example to my listeners. Imagine a goldfish and its children. If you guys have watched Finding Nemo. Also, that's an exaggerated version because the goldfish don't look after their kids.
I didn't know that.
Actually, goldfish don't look after their kids. Once they're born, they just let go. Once they've been laid eggs and they've been fertilized, then they're just there. So once the parent fish has fertilized the eggs, then it has no business meddling with the eggs. It leaves it to go procreate and live life.
Okay.
So the rest of the life of the eggs is really dependent on the eggs themselves. That's how humanity is. Humanity will bring in justice.
Oh, I get
because of
saying.
Humanity, justice is available. You see, because, I care for you. I care for you so much that I feel like you deserve to get some leverage of the problems you've been going through, right?
Yeah.
You're being tormented by robbers or crime a lot in your place.
Mm-hmm.
So because I care about you as a human being, the aspect of empathy... that aspect tells me to come up with a justice system that actually listens to you.
Okay.
Now, after once justice has been birthed, then it's really independent of the humanity. Now, that begs the question now.
Mm-hmm.
Once it was birthed and all, does it also, the strain of, the flow of corruption, does it also feed into the aspect of justice? Because you see, you're a devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Corruption, he brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of humanity because it's through humanity that we actually more corrupt most of the time.
Because
this askari will be like, "Nisaidie nipeleke mtoto ataka unga." I need some small dollar
Chai.
To go and get some milk for the baby.
Yeah.
And you're like, "I was in the wrong, but also I want to help this guy, so let me help him, right?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not from that stream. Are they independent of each other afterwards? And if they are, then is there a way we can rectify justice to actually look into the needs of humanity in a more superfluous, conscious way that maintains we as humanity.
Okay, can I respond to what you said? So I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
Those things, justice and humanity, should be separate, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because
we agree on that. Yeah. I believe.
I think they should be separate, mm-hmm. and to some extent, I also agree that humanity births justice.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you also look at it on the other side, I wanted to say bright. Justice should actually birth humanity. But the problem is the humans. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. The problem is the humans themselves.
The society.
So us as humans, we are flawed in our way of thinking, in our biases. We have a lot of biases concerning so many things.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say that humanity should birth justice, that justice is going to be flawed.
Mm.
I don't know if you get what I'm driving
at. Now, Melvin, let me give you an example. So you want to tell me now, you've been to the CBD, right?
Yeah.
You've seen all the hawkers who usually sell stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why are they selling those things?
See, they want to make money.
They want to make money.
Yeah.
Kanjo anakam. Anawabeba kwa? Yo Mariamu. Ama sijui.
Face
yeah.
me.
Anabeba kwa face me.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, watakuwa sell. They'll be in the cell. They'll be brought in. Maybe caught and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be asked, you know, very well, you're not supposed to sell into the CBD.
They know. That's why they run.
Now, the question of humanity for me comes into this. I believe that they should actually be let go. They should actually be freed. When? No, listen. Don't look at me like that.
just speak.
I'm just saying my own point of view.
Your opinions are valid. Trust me.
So I actually think these people are working extra hard, and I thank the governor currently, Sakaja, who is really advocating for the common mwananchi on the ground, and bringing in the aspect of, you know, hizi vitu ndogo ndogo za kuwa harassed na kanjo and stuff are, you know,
they're eradicated. Yeah.
So
okay, I get what you're saying. But okay. Now, that is the problem. That is the big problem we have in Kenya.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that, you know, this allowing people to behave the way they want. You know, one of the reasons why Nairobi is dirty, I would say, Ama doesn't look. I mean, Kunizo, we have some aesthetic shots of the expressway, which makes Nairobi nice. Look nice. Yes. But if you go deep,
it's filth. Okay.
It's a lot of filth. And
I think that's almost in every country.
And it's almost
because even if you go to London, there are some bad places. You go to New York,
but now hear me out. These people who one of the things that we rarely see in London or first world countries is people selling their merchandise along streets,
mm-hmm.
because they have designated places to sell. Okay.
Yeah.
Which of course will bring me back to the leadership of the country. Because the leaders are the ones allowing the hawkers. Yeah. Because it's a symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The hawker will come and sell, make his profit.
Mm.
The kanjo will come and chase him, pretend to chase. Because most of these people know each other by now. I mean, I've seen you selling socks for some time. I know you. I'm going to get... That's my cash cow. So I'm going to release you so that you go and make more money so that you bring me... So it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
And why is this happening? It's because people are not following the principles of justice.
I feel like Kenya still has a complex history with regards to issues on justice and humanity.
Yeah.
And allow me to also... as we conclude this discussion, the country has actually experienced a lot of ethnic conflict, political corruption, as Melvin has said, and human rights abuses.
Yeah.
Mm. And one major issue is that it has been a source of tension in Kenya with the ethnic inequality.
Mm.
And the country has a diverse population, you know, with over 40 different ethnic groups. Historically,
Before we continue, I think the ethnic corruption is what brings a doubt and questionability into the justice system.
But if you look at it this way, historically speaking, since independence,
since before independence, certain ethnic
groups have held more power and resources than others, leading to a sense of you know, marginalization among certain communities.
I can agree to that,
so,
but
that's a fact.
Let me debunk another thing we have here in Kenya. Okay. Ati, we always say, oh, we have so much diversity. We have like 49
tribes.
Yeah. But do you know how many tribes are in Nigeria? And yet they don't have this ethnic.
Live alone, Nigeria, Tanzania.
Tanzania, how many?
Tanzania is a perfect example. There are so many tribes.
So if you're going to say it's tribes, I think, of course, there's that part here, tribes. But let's not kid ourselves. We have very few tribes in Kenya.
I think the answer there is the history, as he had said earlier on. The history we have is what has morphed into what we have right now.
Yes.
Because,
and why
because as I said, justice is all about black and white. The principles, according to what you said. That's what we should live by, right? The principle of justice.
Yes.
Where apparently we don't allocate, it shouldn't be allocating to all the needs of each and every individual person, because that's no longer justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think justice is black and white. But humanity is a morphing of all the shards of black and white injustice.
So it's gray.
It's totally gray. Now from that grayness, is where now we see the birth of these iniquities and transgressions, corruption, toxic feminism and toxic masculinity. All of that is totally birthed from, you know, the morphing of black and white of justice. Because I believe that because she's a woman and I'm a woman, I'm trying to help her. In the name of women empowerment, I'm trying to help her, and I help her jump a case or throw a case that we know very well she did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm being humane, and yes, I'm like, oh, feminism, I'm empowering this, she's my woman, my girl, you know, my ride or die. But in the real sense, what am I doing? I am questioning justice. I'm making justice be so doubtful, right? Just because you are from the same place. Me and you, we come from Kirinyaga. We come from Nyeri. Just because we are,
why
our
are
uncles know each other.
You should use my charcoal.
Just because our uncles know each other, then I should definitely give you a job. Why is it said that?
So that is why justice.
Because there's someone,
I also want to get...
there's someone who's totally justified to get that job. And you don't know him, but if you have the proper procedures followed according to the constitution, then definitely that person will get what he deserves.
Okay.
You know, this debate can go to eternity.
I know.
Yeah.
We should have a part two of this, I think.
Yeah.
That's my proposal.
I would also like to get an opinion on from our listeners. There's usually a
comment section. In the Spotify.
Yeah. So you could actually raise your opinion on the same, and
or even our DMs on Instagram.
Slide, don't be scared, not shy, long behind.
We reply to all DMs.
Yeah,
so let's keep the conversation going. It's a very, I love it. I have more views. Please, if I made nonsense, throw away the nonsense and take the sense, okay? So that's it for today. This is our first episode of the year, and I love it already.
Happy New Year, guys.
Any closing remarks from Danaro, I guess?
This was just awesome. These guys are just the paragon of intrigue and awesomeness. Like, these guys are cool, man. So you guys are missing on a lot if you guys aren't tuned and subscribed to this channel. Next time you guys listen to this, give us your input, comment it down, tell us what you think, whether negative or positive, there will never be a bad answer. It's all about interaction and learning, and that's what we are here for. So keep your heads up, my guys. Stay tuned. I'll see you around.
All right. May the Lord be with you.
Amen.
This is your favorite podcast.